أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين الحمد لله نحمد ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم All praise due to Allah. We seek His help and His forgiveness. We seek refuge with Allah from the evil of our own souls and our bad deeds. Whomsoever Allah guides will never be led astray, and whomsoever Allah leaves astray, no one can guide. I bear witness that there is no God but Allah. He is one, He has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a servant and messenger. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu itaqqula haqqa tuqatihi wa la tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun. O ye who believe, fear Allah as he should be feared and die not except in a state of Islam. O mankind, be dutiful to your Lord who created you from a single person and from him he created his wife and from them both created many men and women. And fear Allah through whom you demand your mutual rights, and do not cut off the relations of the wombs that bore you. Surely Allah is ever an all watcher over you. O ye who believe, keep your duty to Allah, and fear Him, and speak always the truth. He, Allah, will direct you to righteous deeds, and will forgive you your sins. And whosoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has indeed achieved a great achievement. Verily, the best speech is the book of Allah. The best guidance is that of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the evil of all religious matters is in their own blameworthy innovation. Every blameworthy innovation is a bid'ah, and every bid'ah is a misguidance, and every misguidance is in the hellfire. Wa amma ba'd. Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters. I want to begin by reciting a part of a verse in Ash-Shu'ara, which is chapter 26, verse 89, and then verses 12 to 17 in Al-Balad, which is chapter 90 of the Quran. So in Ash-Shu'ara, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إلا من أتى الله بقلب سليم, which when translated means, but only he will prosper who brings to Allah a sound heart. Another translation of this says, and when he, meaning man, will only be happy who comes to Allah with a heart free of evil. So this is what Qalbin Salim means. A heart that is sound or a heart that is free of evil. In Al-Balad, verse 11 to 17 actually, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم فلقت حمل عقبة وما أدراك ما العقبة فك رقبة أو إطعام في يوم ذي مسغبة يتيما ذا مقربة أو مسكينا ذا متربة ثم كان من الذين آمنوا وتواصوا بالصبر وتواصوا بالمرحمة. When translated, this means, but he chooses not to take the steep road. And we'll come back to what that steep road is. But he chooses not to take the steep road. And what could make you understand what this steep hill or this steep road means? It is the freeing of one's neck from the burden of sin, removing yourself from sin. Or the feeding upon a day when you yourself are hungry, the feeding of an orphan, near of kin, or a needy stranger lying in the dust. And what else does Allah say? And if you are of those who have attained to faith and enjoin upon each other in patient adversity and enjoin upon each other in compassion. So here Allah is telling us that the ones who choose to take this steep road, meaning the toil and struggle to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are the ones who engage in doing what? They free themselves from the burden of sin. They indulge in feeding people. You follow me? Their relative, the near of kin. And what does Allah even mention here? Somebody who is on the street lying in the dust. But this is not all they do. What else do they do? They enjoin or encourage patient perseverance. That when things are tough, you keep struggling, you keep toiling. And what else? They enjoin on each other in compassion. They enjoin on each other in compassion. In one hadith, Nu'man bin Bashir reported that Allah's Messenger ﷺ said, "The similitude of the believers in regard to mutual love, affection, and fellow feeling is that of one body." And many of us have heard this. When any part of the limb aches, what happens? The whole body aches because of sleeplessness and fever. And this is reported as though you were in sleeplessness through fever. And this is reported in Sahih Muslim. In a hadith Qudsi, the Prophet ﷺ narrated that Allah said, "On the day of judgment, Allah will say, 'O son of Adam, I fell ill and you did not visit me.'" So this is Allah talking to man. Allah is saying, "I fell ill and you did not visit me." And naturally man will say, "You are Rabbil Alameen, you are the Lord of the worlds. How can I visit you when you are sick?" And what would Allah say? Allah's response would be, "Did you know that so-and-so," meaning Fulan or Fulan, "was sick and you did not visit him? Had you visited him, you would have found me there with him." So Allah is saying that one of the things that we are supposed to do in the previous verse that I narrated, enjoin each other in compassion, and in this hadith Qudsi, one of the things that we do is what? Visit each other when we are sick. Why? Because this is what Allah is encouraging us to do. Why am I stressing so much on compassion and doing certain things? Alhamdulillah, we recently started a new year in the Hijri calendar. According to the calendar for the Majlis Ashura, today is Muharram 27. It means that we have finished almost 4 weeks of this new month, of this new year, 1433. This is 1,433 years after the Prophet left Medina and he went to Mecca, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now I want us to ask, where are we now? 1,400 plus years later, where are we now that we have this complete message that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given us? This month is a holy month. The Prophet himself referred to this month as a month of Allah. In this community or in this society, we also acknowledge the start of the solar new year, of the Gregorian calendar, or whatever we want to call it sometimes. We are what, like 1 week away from the start of the new year. So regardless of which one you want to acknowledge, the Muslim new year, because you don't want to acknowledge January the 1st, or you want to acknowledge January the 1st as the start of 2012. Regardless of which one you want to acknowledge, my question is this. What are we doing to ensure that this year that has started for us or is about to come upon us is better than last year? What are we doing to ensure that in terms of our health, our physical health, our mental health, our emotional health, and most importantly, our spiritual health, what are we doing to ensure that all of these are better than they were last year? Are we doing our part to take care of this amanah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us? Sometimes we hear the saying that change is what? The essence of growth. If we are not changing, it means we cannot grow. Even seasons change. So my question is this, are we changing? Are we taking the right steps to change ourselves for the better? We all know that the first thing we need to do to improve our own condition is to improve our relationship with Allah. We know that if we do that, everything else falls into place. But what else can we do to improve our relationships with others? Because if you remember that hadith Qudsi, if we are doing things in terms of our relationship with others, we will find Allah there with us. So for me, I want to argue that yes, it needs to be We need to have a little more compassion. We need to have compassion. But my question is this. Can you show compassion if you have no empathy? Can we show compassion if we have no empathy? So it starts with how we think and feel about ourselves, how we think and feel about each other. For me, it starts with myself and how I think and feel about people. For me, it starts with empathy, so therefore it starts with the heart. What is the condition of our heart? Now, Imam Al-Ghazali, in his Ihya, book 21, at some point in time, if you guys get a chance to go through that, please read it. Imam Al-Ghazali does a whole exegesis on the ruh, the heart, the soul, meaning the nafs, and the aql. He does a whole thing on that and helps us understand these things in ways that we may never have thought about it. But I'm going to skip that part of this khutbah today. What I want to focus on is a simpler look at the significance of the heart in Islam. As I mentioned earlier on in Ashura, chapter 26, verse 89, Allah says, by way of the translation, and only he will be happy who comes to Allah with a sound heart or heart free of evil. So Allah is telling us that the heart, when we present it to him, the best heart is that which is what? Free of evil. In Al-Hadid, chapter 57, verse 16, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says by way of translation, has not the time come for those who believe for their hearts to fear Allah when they hear the Quran and the truth that is there in it, so that they may not be like those who received the scripture before them, but in the passage of time, their hearts became what? Their hearts became hard. And most of them are corrupt. So here we are juxtaposing the heart that is salim, or the heart that has good in it, with the heart that is corrupt or hard. Allah doesn't want the heart that is hard. In a narration by Abu Huraira, radiallahu an, the Prophet ﷺ said, do not envy and do not outbid each other. Do not hate and do not turn away. Do not outsell each other and be servants of Allah as what? Brothers. The Muslim is a brother of another Muslim. He does not wrong him, nor does he humiliate him, nor look down upon him. Taqwa is where? Taqwa hahuna. And he pointed to his heart three times. It is sufficient, evil enough, for a person to look down on his brother. All of the Muslim is sacred to another Muslim. His life, his wealth, and his honor. So here, in an authentic hadith, the Prophet ﷺ is saying what? That taqwa resides where? In the heart. Taqwa is in the heart of the Muslim. Two more things, just to stress the importance of the heart for us as Muslims. And this is just a reminder for us. In a surah that most of us know, Surah An-Nas, where does it tell us that shaitan strikes? And we all know the surah. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ شَيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ مَلِكِ النَّاسِ إِلَهِ النَّاسِ مِنْ شَرِّ الْوَسْوَاسِ الْخَنَّاسِ الَّذِي يُوَسْوِسُ وَهُوَ فِي صُدُورِ النَّاسِ. He whispers where? Into the hearts or the chest of man. We know that Shaitan has a plan. We know that he attacks us where it is most important, because he wants to take us off of the straight path. And Allah is telling us that Shaitan comes and whispers into what? The hearts of man. But if we understand why this surah itself is important, this is one of the surahs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us to protect ourselves from evil. So Allah is telling us where Shaitan whispers, and he's also telling us, you know what, use this surah if you need to protect yourself from evil. And if we go back to the asbab of this surah, the asbab and nuzul of this surah, we'll understand we'll get into what I mean there. Lastly, in understanding the importance of the heart, and many of us have heard this from the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As a child, what happened to the Prophet, peace be upon him? It is narrated that he was playing with his friends as a boy. And what happened? The angel came to him and did what? took his heart out of his chest, washed it, and put it back into his chest. So Allah is preparing the Prophet ﷺ as a boy for his Nabiyyat, for his prophethood. In some other narrations, you hear that this happened twice to the Prophet ﷺ. You hear that it also happened on the night of his ascension, where the angel Jibreel lifted the roof off of his house, went into his heart again, opened his chest, took out his heart, washed it again, put it back into his heart, and then took him to the first heaven. So here, we see that in the seerah of the Prophet ﷺ, Allah is showing us that, what? The heart is a key part of our existence as man. What are we doing to protect this key piece of flesh? And not just the key piece of flesh, but that other part that Imam Al-Ghazali talks about. The part that is the spiritual piece of us. You with me? What are we doing to protect that? So let's understand what is empathy. Empathy is the ability to see someone's perspective. It is the ability to feel what someone else is feeling. It is the ability to walk in someone else's shoes. How often are we able to do it? How often are we able to really feel what other people are feeling? Where do we see examples of empathy in Islam? And I'll be honest with you. In my research, you don't find this word being mentioned too much. You find sympathy, which is very different from empathy. You find compassion, which, as I said before, empathy is a precursor to compassion. You don't find the word empathy being mentioned a lot. But you see signs of it. As I mentioned before, the Hadith Qudsi, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Why did you not come visit me when I was ill?" And he has this exchange with man on the Day of Judgment. And the man asked him, "How can I come visit you? You are the Lord of the world." And he said, "Had you come visited that person who was sick, you would have found me there with him." How would we be able to feel the urgency to go visit someone who is sick if we are not putting ourselves in their shoes? Imagine yourself sick on your bed, and no one is coming to visit you. This is empathy. Being able to put yourself in someone else's shoes. In At-Tawbah, which is chapter 9, verse 128, what does Allah say? "Now has come to you a messenger from among yourselves. It grieves him, it pains him, that you should experience hardship." So the Prophet is pained when man is experiencing hardship. "Ardently anxious is he over you." He's very concerned about you. To the believer is he most kind and merciful. So because of his concern, his fikr, his worry for the believers, he's most kind and compassionate to them. Are we as empathetic as the Prophet is? We may never be, but can we even imagine how empathetic he was to his companions? Let's look at some other quick examples of the Prophet, peace be upon him. He had a way of even giving out justice. One time the Prophet was sitting with his companions, and a companion came to the Prophet ﷺ and said, "O Messenger of Allah, I had sex with my wife, I had intercourse with my wife, while I was fasting." Now this is the Himmah of Allah. The Himmah of Allah is Allah's sacred space. You don't violate Allah's Himmah. So this companion is telling the Prophet that he had intercourse with his wife during the time of the fast. We all know that is prohibited. What did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? Of course he has an expiation for that. The Prophet asked him, "Can you free a slave?" "No, I can't." Then he asked him, "Can you fast for 2 consecutive months?" "I can't do that either." Then he asked him, "Can you afford to feed 60 people?" "I can't do that either." Then the Prophet kept silent, and everyone just kept silent, waiting to see what the Prophet would do. A basket full of dates was then brought to the Prophet while they were sitting there quiet. The Prophet then, where's the companion who asked me this question? Where's the questioner? The questioner replied, I am here. Then the Prophet took the basket of dates and he gave it to the companion and said, give this in charity. The man said, should I give it to a person who is poorer than me? And then he said what? By Allah, there is no one poorer than me right now. Then the Prophet said what? Then give it to your family. So you have this person who violated the bounds of Allah, who violated the sanctity of Allah, who violated the sanctity of Allah. And what did the Prophet do? The Prophet actually gave him something to then feed his family, which was his expiation for that sin that he committed. This is empathy. This is the Prophet showing compassion to somebody who was in dire straits. Another example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We have all heard the story of the woman who would throw trash on the Prophet. And I won't spend a lot of time on this story because we all know it. She would throw trash on the Prophet. Always throwing trash on the Prophet. Every time he's passing, she throws trash on him. And then one day he's passing and what happens? No trash. So where's this woman who throws trash on me? Someone then told him that she was sick in bed. He went to visit her. Now imagine if you were being unjust to someone and you are sick in your bed and cannot move and you see that person walk through your door. What do you think they are coming to do? Get their revenge. This is what she thought. When the Prophet walked through, she thought that he was coming to get back at her for what she did to him. When he reassured her that no, he did not come to do that. He came to check in on her to see how she was. That is empathy. That is putting yourself in someone else's shoe. Knowing that she is there sick, he went and he checked on her. Remember, the Prophet ﷺ was a mercy to all the worlds. He was a mercy to all the worlds. So how do we now look at the Prophet ﷺ, his empathy and his compassion? How can we emulate these things? The question we continually need to ask ourselves is, what made him Uswatun Hasana? What made him of the best character, the best example? What made him that? What made him the most famous name in all time? What made him one of the most influential people as recorded of all time? What made him this Bedouin from the desert? What made him that? It was his empathy and his compassion for people. And what did that come from? His fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let's look at our community. And look at examples of where empathy might be missing from our community. To see how we might be able to tweak some of these things. Using Islam to justify our wrongdoing. I was at the bus stop one day and I saw a flyer. And the flyer said this: being bogged down by child support, call this number to get out of it. How can a man father a child and then try to get out of taking care of that child? You laid with her, whether she was your wife or not, because that is a reality in our community. And then you hate this person so much that you won't even take care of the offspring that she bore you. How can you look at your kids, look at this woman, and not feel their pain? What kind of person does that? That is not empathy. And there are many brothers in our community who have kids inside of wedlock. Let's focus on that first. Inside of wedlock, and they don't even take care of their kids. That is a shame. That is a lack of empathy. And I can guarantee you will have no compassion if you have no empathy. Drug sellers. Those who sell drugs. How can you sell drugs and then turn around and say you have empathy and you have compassion for people around you? You know what drugs does to a person. You know how it tears up a person's individual life and the lives of their families. We know how it tears up the communities. How can you stand on the corner and peddle that nonsense? And then come and make sujood to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as though you have compassion. As though you're not doing anything wrong. Well, I don't smoke it, so I'm safe. No, akhi, you're doing something wrong. This is not empathetic behavior. I recently heard of this story of a sister who fell. She was walking. She fell somewhere in West Philadelphia. Near to a masjid. I won't call the masjid's name. Near to a masjid and near to a Muslim business. And guess what happened? Brothers walked by the sister. Why? They can't touch her. It took two non-Muslim students to help the sister up. This is what we have to offer? Seriously? Where is the empathy? How can you see a sister on the ground and that not affect you in a way that you help her up? How? In another example, at time Warner Cable Company, this person started to choke. The manager on duty said, "No, leave them alone. Call 911. Because people around were ready to help her. This woman was in her 50s or something like that. No, leave her alone. We do not want to get a lawsuit or something like that. Wait for 911 to come and help her. Is this empathetic? Sometimes animals show even more empathy. There was this video circulating on YouTube. It showed a dog. Yeah, that thing we always pelt stones at, throw stones at. It showed a dog hit on a highway. Then what you saw? You saw another dog cross the highway in the middle of traffic, grab onto the dog that was injured, and try to pull it to the side of the road. How can animals have more empathy than us? One more example. In China, not too long ago, and I mentioned this the last time, you had a young girl, 2 or 3 years old, hit by a truck. You can see the driver stop because he felt a bump. He felt that he hit something. He stopped for like 2 seconds and then he drove off. The girl is on the ground. People are riding around her, riding past her. She stayed there for many minutes before someone even went over to help her. What is happening to the heart of man? That we see the disenfranchised and the hurt in our community and we do nothing to help them. Where is our heart that the Prophet and Allah Himself place such great importance on? We cannot continue to think that this is someone else's job. So what might cause a lack of empathy? And looking at the time, I'll just run through a couple of these very quickly. Shirk. Setting up partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If there's love for something else in your heart, you won't have love for Allah and you won't have love for His creation. Shirk blocks empathy from your heart. Anger is another disease of the heart. that blocks empathy from entering it. We all know the hadith of the man who came to the Prophet ﷺ and said, Ya Rasulullah, advise me. And what did the Prophet say to him? Do not get angry. And he told him that 3 times. Anger is something that if you are angry with your brother and your brother is in pain, you will ignore that. Why? Because you're too angry to do anything about it. Anger prevents empathy. Pride. Greed. Look at all of the Wall Street protests. Look at everything. Let's look back a year at how this whole thing started off in Tunisia. A street vendor with his cart being abused by years. He was in his 20s. By years by the police. One day he's pushing his cart and a police officer does what? Kicks the cart over. He goes to the magistrate, he goes to the town to ask for some assistance because he's the one who's responsible for feeding his family. And when he goes to the magistrate for assistance, what do they shoo him away? Yeah, nothing they give you. Leave here with that nonsense. What does he then do? He goes into the city square and sets himself on fire. I'm not going to go into an analysis of him setting himself on fire. You guys can do a search and shake Google for whether or not that is right or not. But this is what happens when we have no empathy. When we show no compassion for the disenfranchised and the poor in our community. Envy, hatred, all of these things block empathy from entering our hearts. So who are the ones who cannot feel empathy? And I'll just say this and then we'll end the first part. Who are the ones who cannot feel empathy? People whose hearts are blocked up by some of these very things that I mentioned above. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say in the Quran? Ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'inu al-qulub. Verily, in the what? Remembrance of Allah, do hearts find rest. And I have a whole explanation as what tatma'ina means. It means soothe, calm, serenity. So in the remembrance of Allah, do our hearts find that calm and serenity it needs. People who are narcissistic, they only think of themselves. Empathy cannot enter your heart if the only person you're concerned with is yourself. If every time something happens, it is how it affects you. And not someone else. We cannot have empathy. Or we cannot understand the Quran if we don't have empathy. What do I mean by that? Throughout the Quran we have stories of those who went before us. If we cannot put ourselves in their shoes and understand what they went through. And understand why the wrath or the blessings of Allah descended upon them. It is going to be very difficult for us to understand the Quran. Very difficult. And one more thing. Let's think of the Prophet ﷺ and his last sermon. Now, who was the Prophet? He was this man from the desert, unlettered, changed the face of Arabia forever. Imagine yourself as a companion there with the Prophet ﷺ. Imagine the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah, 10 years after the Hijra. The Prophet is on Mount Arafat. He's at the valley of Mount Arafat. And what does he start his last sermon by saying? What does he start by saying? O people, lend me an attentive ear. Because I do not know if I will be with you after this year. You are a companion of the Prophet. You have been personally affected by him. This man who has transformed your life is telling you, hey, you know what? I may not be with you next year. Can you imagine how that feels? Can you imagine what that is like? And if you cannot, that is the gap I am talking about. If you cannot imagine or feel, even in the least, what that is like, then that is the empathy that I'm speaking about that is missing from our community. Because we have the seerah, we have the examples of the Prophet, we know what he brought, we should be able to empathize at a certain level. And if you cannot empathize with a man with the character of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then your brothers and sisters here, there's no way you're going to feel what they are feeling. No way. So brothers and sisters, remember that we receive more mercy than we deserve, and in no way, shape or form are we given the amount of punishment that we actually deserve. Let us ask Allah to soften our hearts, increase us in gratitude, and forgive us our sins. May Allah grant us forgiveness, guidance, and mercy. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُهُ إِنَّهُ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وصحبه ومن والاه. Action plan. What can we do to build some empathy? I have about 4 minutes to go through this. Remember Allah. Verily, in the remembrance of Allah, do what? Do hearts find rest? How do we remember Allah? Read your Quran. Dhikr. Call on Allah in your times of distress. Call on Allah in your times of happiness. Remember Allah. Learn a new dua that you haven't learned before. The dhikr of Allah is where your heart will find rest. Make sincere dua to Allah to ask for forgiveness. In a verse in Ali Imran that we often recite, when translated it means, O our sustainer, let not our hearts swerve from the truth after thou hast guided us and bestow upon us the gift of thy grace. Verily, thou art true, the giver of gifts. This is in Ali Imran, which is chapter 3, verse 8. Look at that. Learn that. Very simple. It's a dua that is being taught to us by Allah Himself, that we can then turn and ask Allah for this. Do good deeds. Do good deeds. And I don't need to narrate a whole set of stuff as to the importance of doing good deeds. Because if by now, as Muslims, we don't know that we should do good deeds, I can't even finish that sentence. That should be second nature by now. The doing of good should be second nature. And if it isn't, then we need to reform ourselves. Seriously need to reform ourselves. Give charity. The Prophet ﷺ said, give charity, for certainly it extinguishes the sin the way water puts out fire. Sin is what blocks our heart. Find ways to reduce this blockage on our heart, and inshallah, Allah will bestow on us a bit of His grace so that we may start feeling some level of empathy and compassion for those around us. And we have many examples of empathy in our community. We have the Al-Ma'un group who goes around feeding people. This, examples of good deeds. We need to continue to encourage each other in these things. Leaders also have to play a role in this. What did the Prophet ﷺ say? He said that two leaders facilitate things to people concerning religious matters and do not make it difficult for them. and give them good tidings, and do not make them turn away from this religion. So even the leaders are charged with showing empathy, as in the example I gave when the man came to the prophet and said that he had violated the sanctity of the fast. Leaders are charged with this as well. Make the religion easy, not compromise. Make the religion easy for people and do not turn them away from Islam. This is a charge that they have and we have as individuals as well. Brothers and sisters, I want to take a minute to acknowledge Allah's mercies and His blessings and to ask Him to forgive our deceased and to allow them to enter Jannah. We have many members of our community who died in the past year. Very, very quickly, we had Sister Malika Eel, Brother Yazid Jones, Brother Zaki Salahuddin, Sister Hafisa Nuruddin. We had a brother shot 2 weeks ago, Razi Farid, who was gunned down at his gas station in Chester. We have many people who are killed in many ways or who die in many ways. Let us continue to pray that Allah forgives them their sins, makes their graves spacious, and allows them to enter Jannah free and safe. And I also want to put out a dua for our brother Lloyd Bilal, whom I heard recently he had a stroke and he's currently recovering. Let's continue to make dua for our brother Lloyd Bilal. And you guys would know him if you see him around. Let's pray that Allah restores him to health and forgives him his sins and allows him to rejoin us in the very near future. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in his Holy Quran, إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين Verily Allah commands justice and the doing of good and the giving to kith and kin. He forbids sin, transgression, and oppression. He instructs you that you may receive admonition. Aqeemus salat.